All of his pens have been drained to all but the last bit of ink, and several important documents have been translated into Aramaic. Hello, boys, here. My name's James Miller. I am here with
Ethan Palmer. Monitoring that boxy waveform.
It's like an iceberg drifting through the entire MP3, just like, oh no.
And also here with,
it's Peter Odenogu, if you ask the Quebec government.
Yeah. And nice. No iceberg could sink this podcast, right, fellas?
Nope.
Heck no.
No, it's a maiden voyage. It's like, truer words have never been spoken. I don't think anybody said this before. I think our icebergs are harmless.
While I'm up here on the bow of this podcast, I feel like I'm flying, Jack.
I've got my hands on his hips right now, just keeping him safe, just in case. Yeah. I don't want him to slip in his high heels again, because that would just be ridiculous.
Peter taught me how to spit. Ethan taught me how to swallow. It's been a great Titanic version. Story.
Yeah. Been a great story for us. None of us are too stern here. We do spend a lot of time at the bow.
Yeah. Yeah. What an apt description of our podcast. Mm-hmm.
So we are not talking about Jack. We talked about Jack Bright the last time we talked about SCP, and we are talking about SCP again today.
Okay. Yeah. Is the steamy car in the Titanic's like cargo hold an SCP?
It could be. You just have to write it into existence, and it could be.
That's true. Yeah.
It does the impossible in that it makes a rich woman fall in love with a poor person.
Oh yeah.
So SCP, if you guys don't remember, it stands for, I'm going to mess this up again,
Secure, Contain, Protect. Protocol? I don't know. I'll Google it for you.
Yeah, you better.
Containment protocol?
The whole idea is there's weird anomalous things that happen all over the world. It could be people, it could be objects. And this foundation collects these things and keeps them from ruining humanity, or just like keeps them out of the way kind of thing.
Yeah.
Secure, contain, protect. You nailed it.
Nice. So we've talked about some of the bigger, more famous SCPs. We've talked about some of the joke SCPs. We talked about one of the foundation members, Jack Bright. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to be talking about a certain camera in the SCP universe.
Okay.
That it does something weird.
It makes you famous no matter what, no matter who you are, or who you sleep with, but it always makes your sex tape blow up.
It could be.
Dang.
It's also known as the desire camera, so that kind of it fits with your bill.
It makes Does it make you? This sounds familiar. I don't know if you mentioned it in passing on one of the episodes or something.
I'm gonna give it the preamble, and we'll roll in onto the first time on how it did its thing.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
We'll learn together. First, we'll talk about the camera, where it's come from. Then we're going to talk about the camera once the SCP Foundation gets it, use it with their staff. Then how they used it on the D-class personnel. And then how they use it on other SCPs. If you guys are confused on the SCP universe, it is like a fanfic website. We've talked about it before, so if you're not new to the show, you should know it. But
Links to the other episodes are in the description, so you can find them there.
I feel like I know a lot more about the SCP Foundation now than I did in the first episode, but there's still a lot of really good kickoff information in there.
Yeah. Because it's collaborative and it's open to anybody, there's so much content. It's crazy. And like with anything with so much content, there's like plenty of stinkers, but there's also such like really cool inventive stuff in there. So super thankful, I guess, to the listeners who told us to research this in the first place.
There's like the really big ones. Some of the big ones we covered was like SCP, like that lizard that wants to kill everyone. I think it's 063, I want to say. We're going to talk about it again today.
I'm not going to remember their numbers, but there was the lizard, there was the concrete monster that
the
broke
girl.
Your neck, and the girl. There was
young girl 052, death lizard is 682, and the the sculpture is 173.
The original biblical Cain, who turned into like a crazed murder machine after murdering his brother.
I almost did Cain and Abel today because that story is really, really cool.
Yeah,
because if I do another
son too, which is an SCP, it's J class. There's the fat guy and the plant, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's the J class ones.
Yeah.
Today we're going to be talking more about the normal standard issue SCPs.
Okay.
But first, I will set the scene. We're going to talk about some of the ones we've met before, and also some of the other ones that are kind of really a part of the fanfic, like the really the strong contenders. There's no stinkers in this one today. So.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's set the scene. It is June of 1985. Are you there, guys? You're in 1985?
Yeah, it's 6 years before I was born, but it's the right month, so...
Billy Idol's Rebel Yell is jamming on the jukebox. I'm wearing a mesh tank top and cut-off jeans, drinking a Tab. Oh, yeah, I'm there. I'm living it, man.
Cool. Well, Sophie and Mark Johnson, they're on a well-deserved vacation at Myrtle Beach in 1985.
Okay.
Oh, Myrtle Beach is in New... Is that in one of the Carolinas?
Right. I've heard it said before, but I've never been.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there in 1985. I just can't remember because Ethan and I were just so distracted with our mesh shirts, right?
Yeah. South Carolina. Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. We were doing a cross country road trip, you know, in our DeLorean. It was pretty cheap, bro.
Our 1979, we got it on the cheap.
Yeah.
So Sophie and Mark Johnson, they're having a well-deserved vacation. Mark had been putting in lots of extra hours at the office lately.
I was going to ask, how the fuck do they think they deserved a vacation? But it was overtime, so that's fair.
Yeah, they've been married for 10 years. They're laying on the beach enjoying each other's company. Mark's been working a lot. So Sophie wants to capture this tender moment. She's there with her husband, and she takes out a Polaroid Supercolor 645. It's one of those ones where you print, you take the photo and it prints out the front. You like shake it and blow on it, and then you look at the picture.
The classic Polaroid.
You only need to explain that to like some of our listeners who are not in their late 20s. Like anybody our age knows what a Polaroid camera is.
I always picture this podcast lasting hundreds of years, so I also say it that way. So right, they will understand as well.
And
What
if somebody finds this? What if this podcast gets sent back in time and somebody finds it in the 1940s? And they're like, a camera? What are you talking about? But it's a camera that prints a picture out the front immediately after you take it.
Yeah. For any Musk Martians that have returned to the ruins of Earth, and the Polaroid predates the chrome orb you're currently listening to this show on.
The orb of shimmering light from which our voices emanate.
So this is the first time she's using the camera. It's not known where she got it. I like to picture like she got it at some type of like spooky store with a really gaunt man that's like, yes, you can have this camera for free.
Yeah. And when she leaves the shop and turns around, the store's gone. Like that whole fucking thing.
So this is the first time she uses the camera, and she takes a picture of her husband Mark. And she takes out the camera, the picture, she waves it around, blows on it, which apparently you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to just leave it. But anyways.
Yeah. Not supposed to shake it or not supposed to blow on it?
Either. You're supposed to just let it be.
Yeah, it apparently does nothing. But it's one of those things that people do it, so.
Yeah, you blow in your N64 cartridge.
Exactly,
tech placebo, basically.
Yeah. So she looks at this photo after her routine of blowing on the cartridge, and something was not right. Where she took the photo of Mark laying on the sand, he was laying on the sand, but also with his secretary in his arms.
Okay.
Oh, he wasn't overtiming at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we find out that the Foundation picks up on this, confiscates it eventually, however they do their thing. This camera...
Sir, a man in South Carolina is having an affair with his secretary. Get on it right away.
All the SCP like militants with their P90s storming the beach. So the SCP Foundation finds out that this camera is not a normal camera. It reveals the deepest desires of whoever's in the photo.
I was just imagining, you know, like the disposal team in Monsters, Inc. like drills that dome over the secretary and safely detonates her on the ground.
So this is why it's called the desire camera. It doesn't show the person, but it shows a person where they would rather be or what they would rather be doing. whenever you take a photo of them.
Okay.
Just take a picture of me. It's just me, two arms into bottomless buckets of peanut butter. And just at any time, I want to be elbow deep in peanut butter.
Dude, I have this me, but completely hairless. It's just that's what I, that's what I truly want.
It's something, it's something that you can achieve pretty easily.
Very Canadian dream I had was there was a really, I had this when I was like 8 or 9, like a vivid dream that stuck with me. There's this barrel of ketchup chips.
Okay.
And I ate the ketchup chips, and they're the best ketchup chips in the world. they've never matched what I want them to be now.
Oh, yeah. Your mom was such a sweetheart. She used to feed you ketchup chips while you slept.
That's why I'm sleeping. Strong, my sweet boy.
Ketchup chips to give you good iron.
Oh, my gosh. Ketchup chips in bed? No way, dude.
Really? Oh, I've done that.
Yeah.
Crumbs everywhere. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's why I just... I eat the chips separately, and I just have the ketchup in bed.
Yeah. I just brush my hands off in bed, you know, like a civilized man. The powder off on the sheets.
I eat everything over a vacuum.
Oh yeah, real neat freak. Fastidious Greg over here. Yeah. Just,
oh, I forgot. Yeah.
Cleaning up.
He's if you're watching a show or something, you really need headphones, though, right? Because you're not going to hear anything while you're eating.
Yeah, that's true. And I do love to hear the sound of myself chewing, so I actually get this mic... Put it in front of my face, isolate the sound of a vacuum, and have it feeding through a program that eliminates that, but then picks up the sound of me chewing.
Perfect. That's great.
For those at home wondering, it sounds like,
Okay. We just, before we lose everybody. So what do you guys think this is? Euclid, Safe, or Ketter? And Safe being like it's relatively safe to contain. Euclid is like it's probably safe, but like under certain circumstances, it can be dangerous. And then Ketter's like it could destroy the fucking world.
Okay, so I'm going to go on a limb and say it's Ketter, but just because the SCP director or something has like a dark secret that they don't want anybody to know, so they're just like, no, you got to classify that as Ketter.
Oh yeah,
that was my guess as well. I figured the foundation would fudge the paperwork because secrets would get out.
The
leaders of the SCP Foundation are the O5 Council, and they're completely shrouded in mystery.
Yes,
yeah. So we don't know who they are, but you're kind of right. So it's
you just taking pictures of random people at the SCP headquarters, and you happen to get a picture of one of the people in the O5 Council, and it just outputs a picture of the guy with a speech bubble that says, "Boy, I wish I could tell everybody I was on the O5 Council."
Got him. Yeah, it's considered safe. It's super easy to contain. Because usually this is something we got corrected on in the mailbag from Jesters. Usually it's safe because it's easy to contain, not because of the effect it would have on the world.
Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So it's really easy to contain. They just put it in the locker in a basement eventually.
Yeah, they put it up on a tripod somewhere, and it's just like, well, I guess this is where it's going to stay forever now.
Yeah. But you guys are right. The danger of it is the blackmail purposes. It can't be out in the general public because someone could just go to like a press conference with a politician and then get a Russian peeing on them or whatever happens, you know?
Yeah, just surrounded by kids. Just like, oh no.
Yeah.
Now, is it the camera or the film? Can it run out of film?
It's never mentioned that they did take a lot of photos. Like, I looked through like the case file and they've taken photos of like probably 100 different things. And I don't think film's an issue.
What is a grasshopper's deepest desire? Just him playing while a bunch of ants work in the background?
I saw that movie Ants, dude. Yeah. Those grasshoppers are assholes.
Oh yeah.
That was in Bug's Life.
Was it?
Yeah.
Ants is the Woody Allen one. They fight termites.
Termites, yeah.
Oh right.
Ants versus Ants and Bug Life lore coming soon.
Yeah.
So the SCP Foundation found this thing, and they're not just going to store it away. They like to do research to get a clearer picture of the camera's capabilities. So first off, they wanted a control photo. So they're not going to take a picture of a person or something that's magical. They just took a picture of a regular old blue office chair. And it showed the chair wanting to be sat on by a pair of thick anime thighs.
Hell yeah. So that's exactly what I was going to say. The chair want hot women to sit on it, because obviously...
Hot anime women.
Yeah, dude.
Of course, nothing showed up. It was just a picture of a chair.
That was a goof.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Jamie. You got me.
Yeah. Although that would have been great if they found out that's how the chair was an SCP, because it couldn't move or speak or communicate, but it happened to have some form of sentience. Like,
yeah, it's like SCP-0216. It's like the chair that likes lollies.
So the camera, we found out, does not work on non-anomalous or inanimate objects. So if there's no magic there, if it's just a regular old chair or a regular old sofa or desk or whatever, like, nothing's happening.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So the next test, now that they see it's safe on a chair, they're going to grab some of their Foundation staff members and take photos of those.
Hey, here's a philosophical question. What if this chair is perfectly content and the photo is just by happenstance of him sitting by himself?
It could be.
Of course, assigning this chair like a role as some kind of monk, but...
that's actually going to come up more than once later, of things that just are as is when you take the photo.
You like, fucking with me again, or was that? Are you telling the truth this time?
No, okay, that's the truth. That's the truth. So they took some Foundation staff members, and they wanted to test this out, because what better than to expose the deepest, darkest desires of the people you work with, right?
Oh, yeah.
Once again, the HR department is not fast-acting at the SCP Foundation. So. No.
It's always an auto-reply, and I ever get from HR here.
We'll get back to you in the next 48 hours. Like, okay, let's just take the picture. We'll deal with it later.
Yeah.
Exactly. So they asked all these people to stand... or sit in a neutral stance, kind of like when you get like a passport photo. Don't give too much personality into it.
Hair behind your ears or whatever.
Yeah, don't smile because you might be a terrorist or whatever.
Yeah, they're always like way too like gung-ho to get on an airplane, dude. Like, that's why.
Yeah.
No one likes flying.
It's they get their picture taken for their passport, and all they can think about is you know, bombs and you know, things like that. And they're like, yeah, this is great. This is great.
Yeah.
I love the DMV.
So most of these are like pretty tame. There's one staff member who is, after the photo came out, he's just slouched in his chair drinking from a flask. So the guy just wanted to have a drink. There's another in that was shown in their casual clothes, just leaving work for the day because all she wanted to do was leave work.
Mood, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One doctor looked exactly the same, but with a different colored tie.
The staff are so mundane. Like, yeah.
Not a day goes by I don't think about that fuchsia tie.
But imagine you could fix all your problems just by changing your tie color. That kind of sounds nice.
Yeah.
It sounds at that point like you're the problem. You know what I mean? Like, maybe, like, it sounds like if you think that all your problems could be fixed by changing your tie color, I think you're just, like, not being honest with yourself, maybe.
Yeah. Right. So the last assistant they had their picture taken was wildly different from what they were doing in reality. They weren't sitting in the table anymore. This is completely redacted. It was so wild. And they sent this staff member on psychiatric leave. So this little test... made him lose his job and probably a lot of his mental health too, because his deepest, darkest desires were put onto display, and maybe he was fucked up in the first place. Who knows what it was.
If they acted quick and put him on psychiatric leave fast enough, then he wouldn't have been able to find out what the camera did, right?
Yeah, I guess so. So that was what they did on the staff for now, and now that someone had lost their job, they decided to go on to a new round of testing.
Sure.
Yeah. This time not on the scientists, but on the D-class personnel. Yeah. Do you guys remember what those guys are?
Murderers and prisoners and test subjects, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like the delinquents that are, for whatever reason, end up in prison or cast out from society.
Yeah, they're the undesirables that the Foundation is just like, hey, California, we'll give you $100 for like 10 guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a camera we want to see what's going on with.
Yeah, D for D-class might as well mean disposable. I'm not sure if it does, but they treat them this way.
Okay. Sure. Can't flush them, though. They're like wipes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They will. They're disposable, but they got to go in the little trash next to the toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Yeah, so they took a one of... There's in the cafeteria, there's a D-class personnel just eating, just doing his thing, having a burger or whatever. And they took a photo of him, candid, and the photo developed into the man being on vacation with his wife and child, and they're in scuba diving gear, and they're going, like, it's just a really nice thing that he probably doesn't have access to anymore.
Yeah, that's
now, do they stay in the same pose? So is it just a picture of a guy in scuba gear in the calf, or is it completely different?
It's completely different. Like, he was on a beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was imagining, like, costume swaps. So it's like the husband at the beginning was, like, reclining on his towel, and then in the photo, his secretary was just like basically shopped in front of him.
Oh no, like the location can change, like everything can change about the photo.
Yeah. Okay, well that's just different than the deep dark secret thing, because if you take a picture of a guy and you see him committing like some sort of vile sex act on like an unwilling partner, then that's much more different than just like, again, the thought bubble that is just like superimposed over whatever he's thinking, right?
Yeah. It could still be pretty messed up too, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy was just shown to be holding his one-year-old daughter that he couldn't see anymore. It was kind of sad.
These D-class personnel and their remaining humanity make me sick.
Get rid of them. Dispose of them.
I thought we were supposed to break their spirits. Flush them.
These are like, remember in the J-class when they thought the sun was an SCP and they sent one of the D-class into the sun? Like, they really don't care about these people. The Foundation moved on to more extreme examples, because these guys were just, they seemed like family men that lost their way.
God, this is boring. Give it to another one of the guys in accounting. Let's see if we can get another fucked up one.
More perverts.
They took a well-known psychopath, D-Class 7294. He's involved in a couple stories.
Okay.
He's a cellist.
Cellist, yeah. I think is right, yep.
Jelloists, yeah. Somebody who plays bowls of Jello.
But he's also really messed up. So the photo, he was still in his cell, but he's playing the cello, but the cello is made up of dismembered mannequin body parts.
Okay, mannequin? That's not so bad.
Mannequins are the sign of a psychopath, he says with one in the background.
I guess, like, if there's no difference between a dismembered human and a dismembered mannequin, then you're that much more crazy. Like human life means nothing, and mannequins don't have life, so they're the same. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. No. There's something there.
Take a picture of one of those mannequins. See what it would rather be doing.
Could you just imagine if, like, all this guy's murderous tendencies would be solved if somebody just gave him the number for, like, a mannequin manufacturer? Just like, just go buy some, it's fine.
Yeah, you can go to like one of those flea markets with like disposed like Sears goods. You can definitely pick up a couple of mannequins.
This another podcast I listen to, Harmontown, Dan Harmon, the co-creator of Rick and Morty, has a foot fetish and like a what do you call it, like stockings fetish.
Okay,
so
docking, really?
Yeah, and he's told many stories of, like, in his 20s where his friends just come in, his apartment's a mess, there's, like, mannequins all over with their stockings on there. And
stockings!
I, too, heard docking, Peter. I wasn't going to linger on it, because, you know, we don't yuck yums here, but...
Nope.
I did also hear docking, not stocking.
There's apparently, like, I think I've talked about it, and there's different techniques of people putting their foot into shoes that get foot fetish people off.
You've talked about it with me. I don't know if we've talked about it on the show before.
There's like dipping, there's like tapping, and there's something else. It's all different ways of putting your foot in and out of a shoe, which get people off.
Anyways, that back for the day, guys.
Popping is another filthy animal.
Yeah, that would be his picture.
It's because when I heard docking, I was just like, why the fuck is he talking about this on like a casual podcast? What the hell?
We could talk about docking on a casual podcast. Our potential ad sponsors would love it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, back to our docking class personnel.
Yeah.
Next up, we had D217016. And this is a D-class personnel who was a victim to SCP-217. 217 turns organic material into metal. So you can kind of picture her as like, half of her body is kind of morphed into metal, but half of her body is still human, and it's like this weird cyborg type thing.
Is it like malleable or fluid metal, or is she just like lunking around like, and then like just half her body just like completely fixed?
I think it's still, I think it's movable.
Can I take a guess at her deepest desire?
Yeah.
Full Metal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Peter, what do you think?
It's a coin toss.
Yeah. At full flesh. Okay. That's the only one. Oh, a dollar, Pat. Like, that's it.
So I thought it was going to be full flesh too, but Ethan's right. Is she wants to be Full Metal.
Oh, hey, you don't experience photo? Half of that and go back.
Yeah.
Once you go Cobalt, you don't go back, as the old saying goes.
Yeah. In the photo, she's fully metal, and I think she is malleable because she's kneeling in the photo, and she's praying at the base of a black obelisk. So,
how very specifically odd.
Yeah.
Such a sinister additional detail.
There's probably some lore into that with the 217 and how that came to be, mm-hmm. and how it's morphing her, but you fans can let us know.
Yeah, or maybe we'll do an episode on it someday.
Yeah, there's so many.
If the podcast is going to last hundreds of years, as Jamie predicts.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's ambitious, and I admire that no matter what.
Yeah. There's another one, a weird one, and it kind of raises questions as to what the camera's doing. The D-class member was in a coma, so they took a picture of the guy in the coma bed, and the photo came out as a completely deflated sack of skin. So it's almost like if he's not conscious, then there's something removed from it, because I don't think he wants to be a deflated sack of skin.
No, but I mean, he might. I was thinking he's just like still in the hospital bed with like a straw hat, sunglasses, and a lei, just like be in a coma somewhere nicer.
talking about fetishes, it is 100% somebody's fetish that a hot 7-foot-tall woman punctures them with a straw and sucks out all the insides. Like, it's gotta be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They all come from Space Jam when they blew Newman up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. The Resident Evil demo's out now, so like we'll find out about all these people's fetishes soon.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Another one too that kind of raises like maybe mind state has an effect on the desire. Like if someone's in a coma, they're completely deflated. Someone who's completely depressed and behind bars, they're completely apathetic. They took a picture and the person was just still in the same position in their cell, but just with dimmer lighting.
I wish these lights weren't so bright.
Get a sunburn over here.
Yeah. I think that person just couldn't even see like the light at the end of the tunnel. So yeah. That's how they perceive themselves, is just in this dark.
Yeah, I mean, rock bottom is just like wanting a 40-watt bulb instead of a 60-watt bulb. It's like, that's all you can think of.
Or thinking a 60-watt bulb looks like a 40-watt bulb. Who knows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So after that, since they tried all the D-class, they also had to try the animals, since those guys are probably in the same class for them.
Natural progression. I do like that they started with chair. The objective bottom of this, office ladder hierarchy. Then they jumped up to office staff and have been working their way down now, weirdly, where they went like, these are the stable D-class. Now let's go to the unstable D-class. Now let's go to the animals. Like, what?
Yeah. They waited for a guy to get kicked out of his job to be like, oh, let's scale it back a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the fact that they're just like testing it on like different guys now. It's like, oh yeah, like let's try it on the animals now. It's like, I love this farmer's market. It's so quaint. It's like, Dr. Bright, this is a prison.
So they tried it on the animals. First was the lab rats. And lab rats... And after my own heart, they were shown eating or mating or both at once.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Doing a line of like kibble off the back of a sexy lady rat.
Yeah. A line of crumbled cheese.
Yeah, lying back on a slice of New York pizza, just like getting blown by a rat.
Oh, man. That Pete, Ninja Turtles episode, I haven't seen that one.
Don't do that for the art.
I was not going to do that. Sorry.
Some of our listeners would love it too much, okay? Don't do that for the art.
Okay.
There's a bird in a cage. When they took a picture of it, it was shown flying away from the cage with the door open. There is a guard dog, because they have a lot of security on staff because of these crazy dangerous stuff.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So the guard dog was shown with his handler playing fetch in the park.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. There's photos of cockroaches. No visible difference.
Just living their best life, man.
Yeah, for sure. Achieved Zen.
Yeah. Zen.
Yeah. So the Foundation was intrigued with the new results from the animals and the D-class personnel. So they wanted to try some new tests. Let's take some photos of some other SCPs.
Okay.
Sure.
So, this is where it gets a little bit more interesting, I guess, because we're going to run into some of the SCPs we've run to in the past and also some new ones. And pretty much all the ones I mentioned here are a pretty big foundation of the SCP Foundation. That's a weird word choice, but...
I know what you mean.
The bedrock of the SCP Foundation.
Yes, exactly. They're the concrete man of the whatever, yeah.
Yeah. That's a load-bearing SCP, which is something I may have said in the past.
Yeah, so the Foundation actually started with SCP-148. So this is a metallic substance composed of a variety of known and unknown elements. Its big thing is it blocks psychoactive anything. Like, it's used in some walls for certain SCPs to make sure they can't, like, psychoactivate other people and, like, mind control and stuff. It's just a magic metal that stops magic kind of thing.
Sure, yeah. Okay. Magic lead.
Yes.
It blocks psychic powers, and it also makes kids dumber.
Yep. So the Foundation thought up a good experiment. They made a helmet out of the stuff, and they took D-class personnel, they sat him down. Now they wanted to get some like good action going on in his head, because they can't just have him some dullard sitting there. You might not get the results you want with the magic.
He might not use the helmet properly. He put it on his head, but who knows what else.
So they gave the D-class a porno magazine to look through while wearing the magic-blocking helmet.
Hell yeah.
So the photo came out, and it was very, very, very blurry. After more inspection and scientists yelling enhance at the computer.
Yeah, just going to say the exact... I was going to make the exact same joke. They needed to get the CSI team in to enhance it.
Yeah. They see that the D-class was surrounded by naked folks. So their desire when reading a porno was, I guess, to be in the porno.
Oh, were they naked as well? Because I was just picturing, like, boy, I wish I was fully clothed, surrounded by naked people right now. Fully clothed at an orgy.
I watched this in, like, a video and also, like, read a bit about it, and it didn't mention whether he was wearing clothes or not. In the photo on the YouTube video, he's wearing clothes, but I think because you have to on YouTube.
Is he, like, the designated driver for an orgy? He's the guy who has to keep his clothes on?
Yeah. No, no, Keith, come on. We pulled your keys out of the bowl. You keep those pants on, okay? Don't worry. You'll get it next time, bud. Somebody pass me that Gatorade, would you?
Get that G Fuel.
Yeah. Sweating green over here.
Yeah. Lay out that slice of pizza. I want to lie on it while somebody blows me.
Sounds like something Frank from Owen's Sunny would do. All right. So there's a few SCPs that had no difference between the picture and reality, kind of like we talked about before with the chair. It seems like concrete or any type of like rocks kind of don't have the same effect. Like the sculpture, that guy who 173, who if you don't make eye contact with him, he'll sneak up with you on you and snap your neck pretty instantly.
Yeah.
He was happy to be his weird, oversized head baby concrete self in the corner.
Okay.
Yeah. There's SCP-343, also known as God.
Okay.
This guy, he claims to be God. He claims to have created everything within the SCP universe, within the universe as we know it. And he's contained there, but he also just leaves whenever he wants.
Okay.
Yeah.
So contained is kind of a liberal use of the word.
Like he stays in his cell, but one time, like to convince someone that he was God, he just walked cleanly through the wall and came back with a whole hamburger and sat down and ate it in front of him.
Pretty good.
I mean, that's a flex.
Show up with like fish and make multiple fish out of it, like one of his classic miracles that you'd be able to recognize.
Yeah, yeah, it's American God. You just eat a hamburger and it's for yourself.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, I love those Neil Gaiman books.
American God.
I looked up a bit about SCP-343, not a ton, but there's a lot of people who go in to talk to him, and they go in like sternly, or maybe they have a message, and they go in and they're all business, and almost all of them come out like really happy and fulfilled after whatever conversation they have. God seems to have a way to talk to them about whatever they need to hear. And,
okay,
like yeah. a kindly preacher.
Makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. There's SCP-014, the Concrete Man. This is a guy who...
Different than the other one?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. The sculpture wants to snap your neck. This is just a real person who slowly turned to concrete.
Okay.
He was discovered in a hospital. They couldn't figure out his condition. And over time, he's becoming more and more concrete. He doesn't even need to breathe. The only time he breathes is to talk. Because you just need the air to be pushed through his concrete
sure, yeah.
voice box or
Would
whatever.
Would he not run out of air eventually and need to inhale?
No, but he's saying he doesn't need to breathe.
Yeah. Okay. He doesn't need, he only breathes just like you would put air into an accordion to get the sound to come out, you know? Yeah. Like
right.
Yeah. Or presumably occasionally for fun, just the nostalgia of it.
Yeah.
Every once in a while he just makes an accordion noise. That's what he does for fun.
Sorry. So, did you say what God desired?
No, so these are all a list of all of them that had no different
No,
picture.
Okay, they, these are all...
Oh,
okay,
right, yeah, the sorry. Setup.
These are all just, like, they're content with what they are. God, I guess, is content with being God.
Sure.
What more would a God want other than to do hamburger magic tricks?
Yeah. Or to be something to a non-believer.
I really wish I had more sinners to flood out of existence again. Man.
Yeah, that's it. The good old days of turning people to pillars of salt.
Yeah, baby.
Just for looking at me.
One of the most evil, there's probably like a counterpart to God. I don't know if they've interacted, but the Crimson King is SCP-001, I think, and really, really evil. I watched like a 40-minute video on it the other day, and I didn't put anything to use in an episode yet, but maybe eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also, this is another one that there's no difference in the picture. It's SCP-063, the world's best toothbrush, spelled with 1-0.
Toothbrush?
Okay.
This was found on a person, and as soon as they took the toothbrush away from him, he actually committed suicide not much longer, so it must have been a really good toothbrush.
Jesus.
I guess, yeah.
Or wherever you got the toothbrush needed to be hidden, because the SCP Foundation, the O5 Council, often makes their stories airtight by people mysteriously going away.
Okay.
Oh. It could be that as well.
Okay.
Sure.
The world's best toothbrush is in the quarters of one of the doctors. When you brush, it doesn't damage your gums or teeth, but it takes away all like organic material that shouldn't be there. And it doesn't just like brush it away. It makes it completely disappear.
Damn, dude.
It just vanishes.
Oh, you don't even need to spit anymore, because that's the worst part about brushing your teeth.
Yeah,
that's my favorite part. Oh, yeah. Pete and I, we're like night and day. The odd couple.
Yeah, the only thing, this sounds great, the only downside is if you don't use it, if you skip a day of brushing, it becomes like radioactive, it destroys things around it.
Okay.
So,
it gets angry.
Does it? Yeah, is this like a 3 times a day thing, or?
It says once every 24 hours.
Okay, so. Yeah, so.
Once a day is not even that much, I do it twice.
Yeah, that's, well, if it's.
If you're married if to a toothbrush, though. Yeah,
and if it's the perfect toothbrush, then that makes a lot more sense. Yeah. Because you brush twice, because your toothbrush, Pete, and I hate to be the one to tell you this, it's less than perfect.
Yeah. Don't you say that.
It's
okay.
Flawed. I've said it since we met. It's a flawed toothbrush, Pete. When I used it, it was like, I don't know, it just felt weird on my tongue.
I guess that's why it's felt off since then.
Yeah, you could share it, I guess, with other people, too, because all the mouth dirt would just disappear.
See, I know I would know on an academic level that you could, but there's no way I'm letting somebody else use my toothbrush. I don't care how perfect it is.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck if it's magic. That's gross. Yeah.
So the next one is those were all the ones that didn't react. Like the toothbrush is happy being a toothbrush. The man turning to concrete slowly and like barely breathing. He's just himself.
He's happy with that. I mean, yeah. What's not to love about it? He doesn't even have to brush his teeth anymore because he don't brush concrete.
Yeah. So next up is kind of a more serious one. This one's not very jokey at all. It's kind of really scary one. It's SCP-035, the Possessive Mask. And people might know this one. It looks like, you know, like whenever you see, like, you sign up for a drama class and there's, like, the two masks, the one that's happy and the one that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this thing could switch back and forth between that. And you usually want to see it when it's happy, but a lot of the time it is sad.
At sure. least you don't have to guess, right? If you walk in, it's in a mood because it's got the frowny face on. You're just like, I'll come back. I can see you're in a mood right now.
If it's smiling, it might not be a good thing either, too, because it's highly intelligent and manipulative. If it was given an IQ test, it would be considered in the 99th percentile of intelligence compared to humans. So it's like an ultra, ultra, ultra smart person.
Okay. Sure.
If a person puts on the mask, their brain waves change and they lose independent thought and become an extension of the mask's will.
Is just the mask with Jim Carrey, right?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Except you don't get to be like a super cool dude. Your body starts to decay as the mask feeds off of you. Yeah. And your biomass bleeds out of its eyes and mouth of this dark black liquid.
Are we sure that wouldn't have happened to Jim Carrey through prolonged exposure? When he said I'm smoking, he meant that his the molecules in his body were smoking and dissolving away into the mask, of course.
yes probably. The mask also seems to have some type of mind reading capabilities, so when people are nearby it, sometimes it'll bring up like so your wife's cheating on you, huh? Through your mind.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it doesn't just like little text, like post-its with like things that it wants to say, just like fall out of its mouth. You're just like, don't say that to me, mask.
Not only does it slowly eat your body, it is also quite catty.
Some would say that's worse.
Yeah, Brenda in IT thinks you're a bitch. Shut up, mask. Brenda's my friend, okay? God, you don't know anything.
It seems to... Also, it kind of sends like telepathic things to, like, sometimes you'll hear weird whispering if you get too close to it, or you'll hear like sounds that kind of set you off, and it kind of unconsciously convinces you to do things too.
Okay. Like it can throw its voice, so it's kind of like it makes you think it's on the other side of the room. It's like tapping you on the shoulder, but it of course doesn't have limbs. It just has that stem that you can put it on and off with.
It's less of like a genie from Aladdin and more of like just like a force that happens, you know, like it's not talking to you, but some people who, if they spend too much time around it, like the janitor's cleaning up, like all of a sudden they'll start to want to do things that would benefit it. Like it got put into this glass case and all the people who are around it started sending in requests to be like, no, this thing needs to be out of the glass case and it needs to be in like a less secured place. Because they felt that way, but really it was just the mask kind of manipulating them.
No, I think I should be able to wear the mask if I want to wear the mask.
Yeah. One staff member, actually, like a scientist, actually puts it on. He goes through all the trouble and puts it on. He completely loses his ability to think, and the mask starts pacing around in the cell, and stayed in that body until the body had completely lost all of its flesh, its bones had become black and brittle, and then fell on the ground. And that was the only time that the body like was no longer connected to the mask.
Jesus.
So they burned the body and informed the family, and they put it in a glass box for never to come out again.
Yeah. Whoa, can't let that happen again. Put the little swinging hook over the peg, just like, there we go, that's
sick. Yeah,
and a little sign that says "Do not open."
Yeah, hanging off the peg.
Yeah. It's constantly trying to break out, and then the people around it are kind of enabling it just by being close to it. So everyone who has to interact with it in any way or even be close to it have to have daily psychological tests to see if they're falling for the will of the mask.
It does feel to me like they should have put it in a case of that metal that blocks psionic energy, but. Who am I?
Yeah.
That way, anybody who went near it wouldn't want to free the mask. They would just want to be fully clothed at an orgy, apparently.
Or make more of those helmets that block porn from the camera.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't they just make more of that?
Yeah, Jamie, why didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know. They did take a picture of it, though, with the camera, and to see what its deepest, darkest desires were. And it probably shed some light on the lore of of the mask, and there's probably more masks because there was an unidentified individual wearing the mask with its body still intact on a throne surrounded by three masked corpses.
It was Jim Carrey, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. So it seems like there's four masks, and that one wants to destroy the other masks, or at least the bodies that would be in the other mask.
Yeah, so there's a happy, sad mask, so the two opposites. There's an angry, horny mask. there's a jovial and grumpy mask. Right. And I don't know, one other opposite.
A red and a blue mask. Yeah, sleepy and a dopey mask. That's
I like how dwarves. Angry and horny are your opposites.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean,
I'm either angry or I'm horny.
I get horny, right? Then I take care of that. Immediately after, I fly into a rage. I start smashing stuff. I throw lamps, okay? I scream at people. It's just a natural reaction.
Yeah. I don't know. I never thought of those as opposites, but today I learned, I guess.
Well, maybe, honestly, yeah. Maybe it comes from this. Seeing my own genitals, you know, and but, you know, that's also natural, so
right. Yeah.
I've seen them, and I flew into a rage when we were docking, and yeah.
we were docking. I was brushing my teeth with this toothbrush.
So
I don't know what pissed me off more.
If you're angry after having sex or being horny, you could take SCP-043 and maybe put it on to the record player, because it's a haunted copy of the White Album by the Beatles.
Nice. Okay,
haunted how?
Well, at first it's just a grooveless record, so there's no grooves on it that you'd expect in a record to play the songs.
Mm-hmm.
When you put it on, it just plays it normally, the whole White Album.
Okay.
And then at the end of the album, you can hear breathing. It sounds like a male breathing. And sometimes talking, even.
So this is just a bootleg copy of the White Album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except it could talk back and it can hear you.
Oh. Okay.
Well, okay. That's haunted.
Yeah.
Haunted bootleggers.
And the voice is extremely knowledgeable about music. It knows extremely niche music trivia.
Oh, like about that guy music. At a party. That's the worst.
Insufferable.
Yeah. One girl shows up with a band t-shirt and this fucking record just goes off and never stops.
Yep. And it was held by the foundation for ongoing interrogation, because if there's this weird haunted record, they want to talk to it and see why it has a voice and everything. But it seems to not answer any questions unless it's about music or the music industry.
Really is that guy. You keep trying to steer the convo away, and it just keeps bringing it back. You go to another group of people, start talking with them. He comes over. It's like, oh, yeah, sure. I agree. Genesis never was the same after Peter Gabriel left.
Yeah, maybe they're not asking enough music questions, because the picture, after taking a picture of it, it was just a picture of it being returned to its sleeve. It didn't want to be asked any more questions.
Oh. So you can ask it questions. It won't respond unless it's like it responds through the album player, presumably.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. While it's on. So they just kept it running for so long and asking it so many questions to see if they'll get a different result. But
can you like scratch its answers? Like if you scratch the disc? Yeah.
Remake.
Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Genesis. Yeah. The same. Yeah. next up is SCP-050, and it's a mischievous statue of a monkey reading a book.
Cute.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does it want?
On the bottom of the statue are engraved the words "To the Cleverest" in cursive script. And what it does is, when left alone, SCP-50 is shown to be both useful and antagonistic to its current owner. So it's never seen to move, ever, no matter the manner of amount of recordings. But even though it's recorded the entire time, the whole room that it's left in, it becomes very clean to a polish wherever possible.
Okay. I love it. I love this thing. Give me one. Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'm sold. No need to say any more.
Fuck you with the book statue.
Paperwork is filed, trash is emptied, and clutter is removed.
Beautiful.
However, okay. SCP-50 also has a tendency to leave traps for its owners, sometimes deadly ones.
Oh, it's the Home Alone SCP.
Yeah.
Kevin McAllister, is it?
Yeah. There's a whole section called, like, the Office Prank Wars, where Dr. Bright and another scientist were pranking each other back and forth,
sure,
where this monkey comes into play. And one of those, it says that despite the apparent tidiness of the office, all of his pens have been drained to all but the last bit of ink, and several important documents have been translated into Aramaic.
That's commitment. I admire this thing. I'll also take one, actually.
And it is kind of a troll, and it always is kind of pranking. So whenever they took a photo of it, the photo came out as a picture of the camera printing out a photo of a picture of the camera printing out the photo of the...
Oh.
So, like, it's just recursive all the way down.
Feedback loop to the camera.
Yeah. The scientists took a microscope to the photo, and it's recursive just forever. As far as light can bounce back into the microscope, they can't see. Yeah.
Do you think... you remember the shop with the tall, thin man who gave away the camera for free originally? Do you think he also gave that monkey statue to Alanis Morissette, and it was it that replaced all her spoons with knives?
Yeah, her wedding dress was clean, but there was rain on her wedding day.
Yeah, exactly. Goddamn monkey statue made it rain. I'm telling you, it's the monkey statue. Sure it is.
She's like being hauled away in a police car. Yeah.
It's the monkey statue.
It made her songs really popular, but made her forget the reason like the word ironic exists and how to use it properly. Next up is the young girl, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's on, I believe it's like a 5-minute timer. When she's around people, they just start to go insane and start killing each other.
Yeah.
She went and got like a chocolate bar in a store, and then like the police opened fire on everybody, and like it got crazy.
Not pretty.
But we also remember that they put her in there with the death lizard, the lizard that they keep in a vat of hydrochloric acid so it doesn't regenerate enough to be able to kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And they put them in a room together, and they were best friends. So that's in our first episode, you guys. If you haven't heard that, it's in there.
Mm-hmm. Links in the description.
Exactly. And so they took a photo of her while she was just sitting at her desk coloring. And in the photo that printed out, she was there with SCP-682, the death lizard that wants to kill everything except for this girl for whatever reason. And she's riding the death lizard. She's wearing a pink dress, a pink bow, and pink nails. And also the lizard has a pink bow, a pink dress, and pink nails.
Hell yeah.
Which I thought would be a good picture if we didn't come up with a good one. Those are two very iconic things from the series. And it's a funny thought.
I may have mentioned this on a previous episode. I looked at the picture of the lizard, or like the classic picture where it's kind of got like the kind of flesh hood hanging over it. It seems to be based off of like... a dead whale that washed ashore in like New Jersey or something, the Montauk monster.
Yeah, there's a photo, there's like a real life photo of like that dead whale.
Yeah.
And then all of the renditions are just drawn out versions of that.
Yeah. I remember like there's like a local news story about like, well, nature specialist, maybe like, is it a monster? It's like, no, it's probably like a rotten whale or a rotten raccoon, actually. And like the newscasters are trying so desperately to make this like geek have fun.
Yeah. To make it like more creepy, I guess, because like a lot of these are fan written. Like when you go onto the website, they a lot of the time use real photos that can just be applied to it. So it gives it like this sense of maybe it is out there. Maybe there is a death lizard that's going to kill us all. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or it's safely contained in a vat of acid.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the next one up is the death lizard, 682.
Oh my God. I am so hoping it has the exact same thing as the little girl.
But it's writing her.
Well, there's your art.
Yeah.
Well, unsurprisingly, to its normal prerogative, like it wasn't with the little girl. It was surrounded by the corpses of all the staff members. And it was currently mauling the picture who took the person who took the photo.
Okay, good.
I guess that was the focus. Yeah.
It was currently mauling the person who took the photo, but then how did they take the photo?
Well, in the photo. Yeah. When they looked at the photo, it was getting mauled, yeah.
Yeah.
They had it on a timer. they have it on like the 10-second timer, and the photographer walks up and gives a big thumbs up next to the death lizard. Like...
hikes up its shorts so he can just like step into the vat of the
yeah. Oh, I forgot my rain boots today, but we'll just take these socks off. Hmm?
Yeah. Next up is a really prominent SCP that we haven't talked about, but it's like one of the most famous ones, and it's called the Shy Guy.
Like from Mario?
Kind of like from Mario, and it's funny you say that, because I actually have a Mario reference in here.
Okay.
He acts more like a Boo than a Shy Guy, I would say.
Okay.
He was first found...
The little hands over his face or whatever.
Yeah, he won't approach if you're looking at him.
Right.
So he was first found because of strange sightings and disappearance of the Yukon. The Foundation sent up a very heavily armed helicopter full of troops because there's something weird going on up there. People are disappearing and there's these weird sightings. So
Americans are trying to get into the Klondike and steal our gold.
So they see the creature from a distance, and it just so happens the creature is facing away, lucky for them. And they land with the helicopter and go up close to it. And all but one crew member make direct eye contact with it as it turns around.
Okay.
This thing has like a gaunt face. Its arms are like almost 2 meters each. It's got like this weird skinny body, but like all the proportions feel off. Like he's got extra long arms, and like the torso goes down a little bit too far, like Kevin Smith wearing a trench coat. And you ever see that photo of Kevin Smith? Because he always used to wear the trench coat before he lost the weight,
like the silent Bob outfit, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Someone drew a picture of him, what he would look like without the trench coat. It's just torso all the way down to like an inch of leg and feet. I'll see if we can find that and put that in the Discord.
Yeah.
So the gimmick to Shy Guy is that if you make eye contact with him, you will die. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. They had 50 cals from the helicopter shooting at him, and everybody who looked at him, except for the one guy who didn't look and had the sense not to look, who made it back to tell the rest of everyone, like, okay, hey, it's really messed
up.
He
was just in the John, like, he missed revelry. Like.
Yeah. So they went back, and some soldiers actually managed to capture it with that news that you can't look at it. So they caught it by approaching it like Mario might approach a Boo, where you don't look it directly in the eyes, and you kind of just, because it'll come at you if you look at it, right? So he kind of like backpedaled over and
Mario's
put a bag
on. Mario's the opposite. Mario, the Boos don't approach when you're looking at them. The Boos approach your back when you turn your back.
Oh, right.
But
right.
Just the opposite.
Yeah.
Same concept.
Yeah. And they put a bag on its head. So they backpedal all the way over and put a bag on its head.
How did they get within those 2 meter arm reach?
The thing like really isn't mean at all unless you look at it.
Okay. So it's just, yeah.
It's the Shy Guy. Like whenever he's seen, he starts crying uncontrollably. And once he starts crying, like, you're fucked. Because he really doesn't want to be seen. He cries for a time and then he goes on a murder spree.
Okay.
Everyone is everywhere.
But they just did like the classic FBI thing. They just like what pulled up into the woods in like a flower shop van and threw a bag over its head. Yeah, yeah. Hustled it out.
And he was relatively calm with the bag over its head because no one could see its face, so it was fine with that. And he was able to put it in the
Like to picture them like all walking backwards and they just have like a bag on a pole and they're like blindly trying to get it on top of his head, just like banging him with the pole.
Yeah.
Like a pool skimmer with a sack.
Yeah,
on
that's
ex- it.
That's exactly the image I had in my head. Yes.
But they can't look. So, yeah.
Yeah. Does it, and maybe you don't know this about Shy Guy, but does it work like through a mirror? Could they have like a mirror in front of them?
It would. I can only imagine it works through a mirror because it works through photos.
Oh, so when they take a picture,
the eye contact with pictures kills you.
Yeah, which makes it extra scary because let's say someone was living in the Yukon, takes a picture of a moose or something, and it was in the background, and they didn't register it was his face until 40 years later. Whenever they like, oh wait, what is that?
I never looked at those moose pictures from 40 years ago.
Yeah. Well, I never noticed that face that was like 50 feet.
Oh,
in the background.
Okay, yeah. Right.
Sir, we've got a report. Everybody that logged onto the website mooselovers.com is dead. Is mooselovers.com an SCP? We don't know yet, sir.
And it doesn't even matter that it's in containment. If someone somehow had a picture hidden away and looked at it, even if it was on the other side of the world, it would get to you. It would break through anything. It's completely unstoppable.
Okay, so he kills you. He actively like comes and finds you and kills you.
Dismembers, usually. Yeah, like rips you limb from limb.
Okay.
Okay. I thought it was like a magical force.
Yeah, I was kind of just picturing people just drop dead at the sight of him.
Yeah. No, like he screams and he runs at you, and they even did a... I assume the researchers deleted any data they had, like, while keeping their eyes closed once they learned more about it. But they wanted to be able to document him because they couldn't look him at the face. Anyone who looked him in the face had died. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they got a submarine and they got a D-class member.
Classic.
And they took photos of each individual part of its face, of its body. So of its feet, its legs, its knees, its all the way up. They took little tiny photos.
Knee bone connected to the thigh bone. I gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. And they gave that all to the D-class personnel, but they kept the face one on the bottom. And they made sure, they asked him, are you able to draw? This guy was able to draw. So he was drawing out each individual piece and then finishing with the face. And as soon as he got to the face, they're monitoring this thing and it starts screaming and crying. And it just breaks through the wall and it runs at like inhuman speeds, like 400 miles an hour down the coastline, dives into the water, goes all the way to the bottom. And they're like wheeling up this picture as this guy's about to get killed. And he does get killed and he gets broken in through the submarine, ripped limb from limb. But once the guy was dead, Shy Guy didn't really have anywhere to go and just let a bag be put back on his head and taken back
home. Aww.
I do love that they had to invent some sort of waterproof paper that this guy could also draw on in order to get it out from under the ocean. Like, I don't know.
Well, yeah, I guess they put it in a bottle and let it go, or it could be anything. Yeah.
The submarine makes sense because it's like harder to reach, but it feels very specific to me. Like,
you can just put it. It could be like the plastic film that you use on a projector. That's waterproof. If you just draw on it with Sharpie, you can drag that out of the ocean.
You know,
I'm sure people are able to draw things underground and under the water and still get them home. But
for sure.
Anyways, that's how they did it. And now they took the drawing home, and you can look at the drawing. That's fine.
Nice.
Wait. Oh, because he was drawing using the photos as a reference.
Yeah.
So the photo is what got him killed. I understand.
Yeah.
I thought his drawing got him killed.
No,
looking at the photo. So now the scientists were able to finally look at the beast without it killing everyone.
Okay, yeah.
He was safely away. Hopefully there's no weird moose photos somewhere out in the world that are just waiting to be discovered.
Some undeveloped roll of Kodak film in someone's basement. I would love the idea if it's just like, can you draw? And he was just like, yeah. And then just was a lie. So they're just like, finally, we can see what this monster looks like. And it's just like a full-size stick man.
Yeah. It's hideous.
We can look directly at it. Yeah.
I also like the idea that it's like, can you draw? Yeah, sure. Okay. We're going to need you to take this binder, don't open it yet, we're gonna need you to go through it page by page and draw what you see. Little twist, we're putting you in a submarine in the bottom of the Pacific Ocean. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. When you're done, put your messages in put your drawings in these bottles, make sure to cork them tight, and they'll just they'll float up to the top. Okay, don't worry about them.
Yep.
Go get them, tiger.
Yep. Yeah, that happened. That's how they can see what it looks like. It still exists in the SCP Foundation.
Or it's just like beautiful, and it's just it's the SCP, but it's naked, wearing the heart of the sea. It's just like, oh yeah, rose from Titanic.
So the Desire camera took a photo of him, and what do you guys think happened?
No eyes.
He wants to be holding someone's hand. He doesn't want to kill people because he's shy.
No eyes or no face or something.
Yeah, pretty close. He just wasn't in the photo. They took the photo. He really doesn't want to be seen. And
okay.
He was just... There was just the picture of the cell.
He's just there as they're like setting up this camera again, not facing him, like setting up a camera on a tripod, just like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ, not again.
So that was all the SCPs for now, and I just wanted to touch on two more, Dr. Bright and Dr. Clef, who also got their photos taken of.
Okay, of course.
So Dr. Bright, we talked about, he lives forever because of this SCP that he has on his chest.
The pendant.
Yeah. Yeah. He was having a fight with Dr. Clef. They were arguing about some type of science thing. And Dr. Bright, the Dr. Bright's photo actually just showed a picture of his grave that says, Dr. Jack Bright, may he finally rest. Because I guess he just wants to die at this point.
Okay. Well, he's tired of body snatching people with that necklace, right?
Yeah. Yeah, reasonably so. He sent enough people to the grave as they have to swap out every month or whatever it is.
Not even to the grave, to oblivion. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then another member that we haven't really talked much about, but I'll give him an introduction here just in case he comes up in another one. Dr. Alto Clef.
Alto Clef. I was going to say like treble, but they already made the joke, clearly. So.
Yep. He's an enigmatic scientist and gun enthusiast working for the SCP Foundation.
Okay, I love the combo.
He's known for being one of the most mysterious non-O5 employees currently working for the Foundation. Or as far as we know, maybe he's on the O5. It's hard to tell.
Although, yeah, also as far as we know, because if there was someone more mysterious, we might just not know about them.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's impossible to probably photograph his face for some reason. It's a mysterious thing about him. Every time you take a picture of him, his face just like is either blended over or not there. You just can't.
Oh, it's not just like some convenient prop is always in the way.
It could be. It's not mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be like a Wilson from Tim the Toolman Taylor, where there's just always something.
Yeah.
In
front of his face. Yeah.
Or sometimes his face is actually swapped with the face of a random animal. Yeah.
Okay. Good for him.
That's very odd, actually.
Yeah. Dr. Clef is known to be one of the most indestructible and invincible immortal members of the SCP Foundation, alongside Jack Bright. So he's been around for a long time, too.
Okay.
He has... he's kind of more, like, violent than Bright. Even though Bright takes over bodies, this guy's, like, very outwardly... violent. He's known for brutally decommissioning extraordinary dangerous SCPs.
But so he can kill SCPs.
He has, yeah.
Well, some SCPs can just die, right? Like, not all of them are indestructible.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
He's brutally efficient, and he doesn't shy away from wasting countless innocent lives in the name of science and for the protection of the outside civilian world. So I bet you if you're D-class, you don't want to be on a Clef assignment.
No,
you know?
No, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's Zap Brannigan. I knew the kill boss had a preset kill limit of 10,000 men, so I just sent wave after wave against them.
So yeah, Bright and Clef, you kind of can get a picture of who they both are. They're having an argument, and someone snaps a pic. And Bright's photo, like I said, is Jack Bright resting at last. And Clef's photo was pretty much the same as it was in reality, except his face can't be photographed. So his hand was replaced by a big hand, like flipping the bird instead. he's like Spy Kids, those thumb people. Kind of. Yeah. And one last one, which is kind of cute. Someone took a picture of Dr. Fisher holding his pet hamster, but for whatever reason, the camera focused on the hamster and not the doctor. So it just showed the hamster sleeping really peacefully in his bed.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, love. Has anyone ever taken a mirror selfie with this camera to see what the camera wants?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You can write it, Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah. $99 to your patron. I'll write the fucking SCP camera lore. I'll add one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's considered a safe SCP except for the potential blackmail thing. So it's kept in a simple old locker, HJ12 at Site 17.
Well, you're going to tell us the locker and everything?
HGTV? Yep, it's a combo.
HJ12 at Site 17.
Yeah, HGTV, yeah.
Yeah. Find it at HGTV.
Right next to all the copies of Homes on Homes. Yeah. There's just a bunch of DVDs in there and the camera. Well,
that's why all those, you know, people who paint radishes want those $12 million houses, is because they're being filmed with this camera.
My mom.
Yeah, so that is the camera of desire, or the desire camera, and that's another SCP-978, and that is the episode, guys. So
well, I will say that I don't desire this episode should end, Jamie. You don't need a camera to tell that. That was a blast. Thanks for that. thanks for listening, everybody. I've been your co-host, Ethan Palmer. If you want to join the conversation, if you want to suggest stuff, if you want to be one of the many, many people who tells Jamie to do more SCP lore, you can head over to our Discord. If you go to loreboys.com/about, there will be a link there, or there's a link in the description of this podcast, most likely, depending on the podcast app you're using. But I'm gonna bet if you go, there's going to be a Discord link in there somewhere. Peter, anything you want to plug this week?
First, I want to thank everybody. This weekend, it's May 3rd, 2021. So this previous weekend, there was like a Titanfall 2 event to show Respawn that people still love the game. I'd like to thank everybody for letting me know about that, because I had a blast this weekend jumping in with like a huge population of people that I had not seen in years. So I had a really nice weekend, despite the fact we didn't get to play together. And then there's at Loreboys Podcast on Instagram, and you can always check out my publisher, Squared Idea, as well, if you want to do that. Support us all six ways to Sunday.
Yeah, and Jimbo, what about you, buddy?
Get on that Discord. That's where we talk the most with you folks. You can go to loreboys.com/about and find it there. I'm thinking for my next SCP episode, I really want to do Cain and Abel, because it's just a really cool story. I started researching it today, and I couldn't do it justice today, so I went with something I knew better. But let me know if you like that or you don't like that, and it could help inform the next episode that I do.
Awesome.
And thank you.
Yeah, do get in touch with us via any of the means that James mentioned. We're planning on doing another mailbag soon-ish, so we've been hoarding your viewer mail, but we'll read it on air on twitch.tv/theloreboys. Eventually, our four-year anniversary is coming up. As Jamie said in our chat the other day, we're almost a bachelor's degree level of doing this podcast at this point, so... yep. It wouldn't be possible, or at least it wouldn't be very fun without all of you guys listening and showing up and supporting us. So thanks again for doing that. If you want to help the show, leaving reviews, telling your friends is got to be one of the best ways.
So once you get your lore bachelor's degree, you could not get a job like other bachelor's
degrees. Yeah, yeah. Then you're going to want to go into a lore postgrad, and it's, you know, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to support the show, like I said, reviews, great way to do it. Telling your friends, great way to do it. Inviting people, great way to do it. Just having conversations with us makes us feel good about doing it, so that's also great. If you want to support the show financially, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys. You can head there, and you can give us money.
Hello to William, the most recent lunatic who decided to give us money.
Yeah, big shout-out to Cap'n Willy on the Discord. Thanks for stopping by, my friend. We do have some rewards up there. If you guys want them done, poke us about them, and we'll do the thing that you asked, that we said we would do for you. Of course, we do have Loreboys Prime, which has been around long before the Patreon ever rolled around, for the people who have gone back to the early episodes of Loreboys, or have been around since, I suppose. And we offer a special something that doesn't always require a freaking credit card, you know, a freaking bank account to freaking,
paper trail. Come on, guys.
Come on. Nobody wants that. So, here at the Loreboys, as you guys can kind of tell, we do have a lot of orgies. And we are in need of volunteers, because we're finding it a drag to always have one designated driver at the orgy. So we want you guys to come to our orgies fully clothed, and just drive us home once the event's done. We'll provide the garbage bags for your car seats. We do need you to bring a slice of pizza and a toothbrush. You don't need to ask why. You just need to bring those articles for us, okay? So just get in touch with us, and if you want to support the show, that's a great way to do it. Love you all.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Have a great day, and Loreboys...
Out.
This is the lore of the boys, of the lore, of the boys, of the boys, of the lore, of the lore, of the boys.
One more delay on my end.
Okay, cool.
Not a delay in the sense that your voice is being delayed, of course, Jamie. This time it's a delay in that Peter has to pee.
Oh, frick.
My name's Ethan. Have you guys heard of the SCP-822, which is a can of beer that gets better if you leave it overnight and don't drink it the same day?
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fancy that.
I have SCP-883, which is a can of beer. The more you want it, the emptier it'll be. So,
oh, no.
So yeah. As you go on throughout the night, it cuts you off automatically.
Does it? My name is Peter, and I'm curious if that SCP, once it's all horse piss, if you're drunk enough to drink it, will you do it anyway?
It'd be cool if it like slowly switched to water at a certain point and you didn't really know when. It still kept the taste of beer.
Yeah.
And
by the end of the night, it's just Gatorade. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, have a nice sleep there, champ.
Yeah.
Sound check, yeah.
My name's Ethan. There are definitely some garbage SCPs, like SCP-722, which is a sentient pile of garbage which comments on the way that you smell.
I like SCP-123, which is just me.
You and
trash.
Me. Easy as ABC.